Do you have trouble focusing? Do you tend to be hyperactive, distracted, or bouncing from one creative idea to another on a whim? If any of this sounds familiar, you're going to get a lot out of this conversation. This is the 5 a.m. Miracle, episode number 532, The Impact of Adult ADHD on High Achievers, with Dave Delaney. Good morning and welcome to the 5 a.m. Miracle. I am Jeff Sanders and this is the podcast dedicated to dominating your day before breakfast. My goal is to help you bounce out of bed with enthusiasm, create powerful lifelong habits, and tackle your grandest goals with extraordinary energy. In the episode this week, I interview Dave Delaney. Dave is a communication coach, consultant, author, and keynote speaker at his company, FutureForth.com. Dave is also a podcaster, and his new show, ADHD Wise Squirrels, is designed specifically for adults with late-diagnosed ADHD. In our conversation, Dave and I discuss what ADHD is and how it impacts productivity, specifically for high achievers, how you can take a free ADHD assessment, and how getting treated can literally save your life. Let's get to it. All right, I am pumped to be back here in the 5 a.m. Miracle Studios with my friend Dave Delaney. Dave, welcome back to the show.
I can't believe you got me up at 5 a.m., Jeff.
You know, you're the first guest to ever do that, or even like
really
even attempt the idea this is a 5 a.m. discussion. That's really funny. Yeah.
I know, actually, I'm really hungry because it's past lunch.
Right, right. Well, I mean, anyway. It's a very common thing for people to assume I record this show at 5 a.m., and I have never once done that, so that's pretty funny.
Probably harder to get guests, I would imagine.
Yes, yes. Unless we're in different time zone, that'd be tough.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, you were on this podcast probably 3 years ago-ish, and back then we discussed communication and improv and some other things you were working on then. What has changed in your world in the last 3-ish years?
Nothing much. and everything. I am still doing that. My company is Future Forth, and we still do a lot of communication training, presentations, keynotes, presentation skills training, all that good stuff. And of course, improv plays a big role in that too. So I am still, a big fan and practitioner of using and teaching improv skills. However, in May, I was diagnosed with ADHD, and a lot has changed now that I know more about myself and my operating system, so to speak, and has certainly helped me focus more on the work that I'm most excited about, which I'm here to share with you today, and also with your listeners to teach them about ADHD, the fact that I will kick this conversation off with is that the average adult, not the average, excuse me, adults with ADHD who are undiagnosed and untreated can have a less lifespan by up to 13 years. So you can have up to 13 years less of a life with undiagnosed and untreated ADHD. And so my passion for this topic has led me to create a new website, new resource, new podcast that I'm excited to share about, but has shifted a little bit from this passion into a bit of a mission now, because sharing this information and getting folks themselves who might feel that they could have ADHD diagnosed and treated could save some lives. So that's got me pretty excited too.
Wow. Yeah, that is powerful. And it's interesting about the kind of later in life diagnosis, which we can get into as well. But before we go there, can you break down the difference between these common terms of ADD versus ADHD?
Yes. And I should preface all our conversation here that I am not a doctor, nor do I play one on the internet. So
same for me as well. Yeah, good.
That's right. Disclaimers abound here. The difference actually, so ADHD, they added the H basically some years ago. And so ADD and ADHD are the same thing. It's the same thing. They just added the H for hyperactivity as part of that acronym. So if somebody says I have ADD, they have ADHD. It's just now called ADHD. It's kind of like HBO and Max. okay. Although I would argue that HBO and Max is probably one of the worst branding faux pas of all time.
I would agree.
I digress. Yeah. But if I was watching Max last night, you know that they're watching HBO. And so if somebody says I have ADD, they have ADHD.
Okay. Got it. So let's go back to your story here a little bit then. What prompted you to get the diagnosis? Where did that come from?
Yeah, great question. So there's a longer version and a shorter version. I'll give you the shorter version, but we can dig in further if you like. The shorter version is that, and with ADHD, I tend to ramble, of course.
I do as well. It's fine. It's fine.
So maybe the shorter version will be the longer version. What led me to the diagnosis was I was in a mastermind with two friends, one guy I know well and very well, and the other guy I didn't know very well. And one day the three of us were meeting once a week, you know, just kind of work on our businesses together. And one day out of the blue, one of them texted me and said, "Hey, Dave, do you have ADHD?" And I'm like, "No." And he said, "I think you do." And he said, "I have ADHD. So, and I can see it in you. You should go talk to your doctor." And this wasn't a complete foreign assumption. I had heard similar things about myself, especially from my wife over the years, who's a school teacher. And so I did. I made an appointment with my doctor, went to see him, went through some testing, and was diagnosed with ADHD. So that's kind of how I found out. The longer version involves a 2016. In 2016, I actually went because also then my wife was like urging me to go. She really thought I had ADHD. And so in 2016, I went and saw a therapist who was for a couple sessions. And for some reason, and I'm not sure exactly where along the line, the diagnosis of my ADHD somehow got missed. So when I received this diagnosis last year, I actually had been diagnosed 5 years earlier.
Okay. So this has not been a surprise for you in that sense, but still new. Right.
Right. Yeah, exactly. It's one of those things. It's who I've always been. However, I've gone all in on this to learn about ADHD so that I can better understand myself. And in this process that led me to create Wise Squirrels and the ADHD Wise Squirrels podcast, where I'm interviewing subject matter experts, high achievers with ADHD, and I'm writing a lot about it and just sharing what I'm learning in part so that I can learn about it, but also so that other folks can learn about it too.
So let's back up a little more then. What does it actually mean, or what's the impact for you for having ADHD?
Yeah. So it's multiple levels for me and multiple different aspects of this. So, I mentioned rambling. Well, I do tend to ramble. I do tend to interrupt people when I'm talking to them. Things like that even though I speak about communication, I've written about communication. This is like a big part of my wheelhouse. Active listening, for example, is something I teach others to do. And I always joke on stage, like when I'm delivering a keynote, that just, you know, I am always trying to improve my listening abilities, and just ask my wife. She'll be the first to tell you this. So what I've realized though is, the tendencies and things that I have, the personality traits, some obstacles that I face, and also strengths that I have are all related to my having ADHD. So everything from, you know, getting distracted when I should be doing something else to getting hyper-focused on projects where I'm working on something, hours go by, like my podcast, for example, where hours go by when I'm editing my show and all that stuff. I don't eat. I'm like fully in there. And that's something that people misunderstand about ADHD. And that's where that H fits in, right? It's not just hyperactivity, but it's also like hyper focus. And so with ADHD and seeing it in myself, there are things that I don't want to do, or I'm overwhelmed by the process, or that I don't understand fully. And instead of doing them, I find anything else to do. And so, you know, you could call that procrastination, but with ADHD, it's almost like a wall that blocks you from doing the thing. So like, you know, like taxes, for example, I don't want to do taxes. I don't like numbers. Now, if the IRS is listening, I have an accountant. Everything is okay. But you do get hyper-focused on the things that you're most excited about and that you're enjoying the most. I'll give you another example. With ADHD, we lack dopamine. And so we try to find ways to create dopamine. And even unknowingly, you know, not knowing you have ADHD, like myself a couple of years ago here, or even early last year, when I'm delivering presentations on stages in front of audiences or companies and doing, you know, retreats and speaking, I receive feedback from the audience in the form of laughter, you know, getting back to the improv thing, but also delivering presentations. I get so much feedback from the audience, their laughter, their nods, their applause, that feeds my dopamine. And I draw energy from that. And so when I get off stage, I'm so happy. I feel great. And now I understand why I love public speaking so much, because I get all that dopamine rush when I'm standing on stages delivering presentations.
Do you think that people with ADHD tend to be more extroverted in that sense, or seeking social activity, or is that more just for you, you think?
I think I don't know, like, specifically whether ADHDers have tendencies to be more introverted or extroverted. My understanding, at least, is that probably doesn't play a role in it. I think there are plenty probably of introverts who have ADHD just like extroverts. They just find different ways to receive that dopamine rush. So my understanding, and again, not a scientist here, but my understanding is that, I don't think it really affects whether you're introverted or extroverted.
This podcast is all about productivity. And one area of my life that has always needed a few extra strategies is wrapped up in the world of finance. Now, you could argue that being financially productive is even more important than other areas. And with my sponsor, Yahoo Finance, you can consolidate multiple accounts into one hub or dashboard, just like I do with my own investment accounts. Now, I'm actually looking at yahoofinance.com right now, and I can see the stocks I'm following. I can customize my portfolio and even securely connect other brokerage accounts that I have. It was fascinating for me to see that the number one brand behind every great investor is Yahoo Finance. Now, I'm not a seasoned investor, so I love to find extra guidance to help me find and make a better financial decisions, which is where Yahoo Finance comes in and gives you the tools and data you need all in one place. They show a big picture look at financial news, independent research, and what I love the most, customizable charts for your own investments. So for comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com. That's yahoofinance.com. The 5 a.m. Miracle audiobook is available now on Audible, Amazon, and Apple Books. It's full of specific how-to advice and action steps to help you wake up early, dominate your day, and achieve your life's grandest goals. It's 4 hours of energy-packed audio that's read by me. And the audiobook walks you step-by-step through the 5 a.m. Blueprint, which is my 7-step productivity framework. You will learn how to set your grandest goals, craft clear boundaries around your work, optimize your ideal week, and discover what the pros do to get the most out of their day. Just visit 5ambook.com to get your copy of the 5 a.m. Miracle audiobook today. Once again, that's 5ambook.com. So then you mentioned this idea that affects obviously focus or procrastination. These are topics I discuss all the time on this show. In fact, as you're talking, I'm thinking I have half of these issues Dave is discussing. But from that perspective of the high achiever, productivity focused people, like how does ADHD affect high achievers? How does it affect like day-to-day ability to get these goals accomplished?
Yeah. So to understand ADHD, you have to understand that there are there's kind of three different buckets. There's like the inattentive ADHDer, there's the hyperactive ADHDer, and then there's sort of a mix between the two. And I'm a bit of a mix between the two personally. But to get things done in the day to day, like you have to look at like high achievers who, you know, as the old cliche of thinking outside of the box, ADHDers very often think outside the box. They are like, if you have ADHD, you are 60 to 80% more likely to have entrepreneurial intentions and nearly 100% more likely to start a company or a business.
Wow.
Yeah. And then also with creatives as well. So entrepreneurs, creatives, ADHD is quite, it's quite common. And so even businesses and companies, you look at Richard Branson is a great example of an ADHDer who, you know, obviously started Virgin, but like you look at, you know, JetBlue or IKEA, Microsoft, all these different big brands that have been started by people who have ADHD. So it gets you hyper-focused on ideas and you can just build the thing, really quickly, like I did with Why Squirrels. Like when I speak to ADHD coaches or ADHD experts, doctors on my podcast, they always laugh at the story of me just starting Why Squirrels instantly, because I was like, oh, I need to share everything I'm learning instantly. Right. So I started the website and then I started the podcast because, you know, I've been podcasting on and off since 2005. And so just, you know, jumping in full steam ahead, that's very much an ADHDer type of thing to do. And so with entrepreneurship and creatives, I mean, they just get the canvas out and start painting, or they buy the domain name and then, you know, start designing the website. So did that answer your question there?
Yeah, I think it's really interesting that there's so much of an overlap between creativity, starting businesses. I mean, the people that, you know, you and I know a lot of the same people, and I feel as though there are a lot of people in the, you know, the podcasting space, YouTubers, entrepreneurs who, yeah, I think of them as creatives and go-getters and kind of the, like, they won't sit still kind of people. Like, they're just busybodies, but it's productive, but they're just, you know, it's always go, go, go all the time. And I'm, you know, half of me thinks like that just too much caffeine is being included. The other half of me thinks like there's a natural desire happening there to want to be always seeking these kinds of creative outlets. And it sounds like that's a very strong like ADHD tendency is to have that creative spirit. It sounds like an asset. Am I wrong there, or does it backfire in any way to have that much creativity?
It doesn't necessarily backfire. I mean, I think you're right. It is an asset. You know, so some people will say that ADHD is like a superpower. Some people, really support that statement. Others, you know, maybe not as much. I think the key thing with ADHD is that you need to get treatment and understand it fully in order to kind of, so like, for example, I'm seeing an ADHD coach who helps me with my executive functioning skills and helps me with staying on task and things like that. And then I also am seeing a therapist who has prescribed me, stimulants, and who I'm is also we're going through cognitive behavioral therapy, CBT, to help me with, processing and just getting a grasp of all this. So, to your question, it can be a big plus but the problem is that you can end up a starving artist if you're just creating the content but never selling anything, for example, right? Or shipping, as Steve Jobs said and Seth Godin said. So that's where it can get challenging, right? Like where you can get hyper focused on the wrong things, and not focused enough in the areas where you need to be focused. So, but to your question, like there's a lot of superpower strengths, right? There's and I have a presentation I do called The Root Down, which is a process this is for anybody, but it's about knowing yourself and understanding yourself. It's about respecting yourself, and that includes self-love and self-acceptance, and then about connecting yourself and finding people, finding your community, and so forth. But I mentioned that because in that presentation, I talk about some of the ADHD benefits. So like creativity, energetic and enthusiastic, hyper-focus, you take risks, you have an entrepreneurial spirit, quick at problem solving, you're empathetic and sensitive. ADHDers tend to be really great people, very charismatic, good hearts, innovative, things like that.
I'm curious about this question you mentioned, or the statement at the beginning about the shortened lifespan. And then also You mentioned the treatment that you're doing, you're seeing a coach and a therapist. Maybe mm-hmm. the obvious answer to my next question is like, are you glad you discovered that you got the diagnosis as an adult, as opposed to not being diagnosed? I guess let's start with the easy one there. Like, what would life be like without a diagnosis for you now, do you think?
Yeah, that's a great, great question. So, I've been working for myself for 12 years, and I've had ups and downs, like all entrepreneurs, of course, and solo practitioners. And no, yes, the short answer to your question is absolutely yes. I'm very, very glad. To answer your question about the lifespan question. So there's a meta-analysis done by Dr. Richard Barclay, and Richard Barclay is now retired, but he has a really great YouTube channel, and he's still very active and passionate about the topic of ADHD, really an authority in the space. And I haven't met him personally, but he's just seems like a great guy. And he found that this statistic of up to 13 years less, and the reasons why can amount to different things. Like, for example, I mentioned risk taking, right? That can be a benefit in starting a business, taking a risk, but it could also affect you driving in your car, seeing the light turn yellow, and hitting the gas so that you can get through it before it turns red, noticing that people are crossing the road or that there's other traffic, but just taking the risk, right? Mm. That can affect things, right? So that can be part of this statistic of people that can die because of these poor choices that we make. You mentioned coffee, and addiction is another big part of ADHD. Again, back to that dopamine thing, where we are looking for ways, to get that dopamine, to get that rush, and also we tend to be more excessive a lot of the time, and so without treatment, you're left to your own devices to manage that how you can. Now, I made a lot of choices personally in 2020. When the world was imploding, and then you include a tornado that destroyed my kid's school, and a derecho, straight line windstorm that kicked us out of our house for 3 months while I had to deal with contractors and insurance and all that. Also, my business as a speaker and a coach were sort of down the toilet for a while there because COVID. So with all that stress. again, this is pre-diagnosis, but I started taking mindfulness and meditation much more seriously. And I started a daily practice. I started exercising more. I quit drinking. So I haven't had a drink in nearly 4 years. But I bring that point up because with ADHD, you can be a little excessive or a lot. And so that could be good and bad, right? So with the bad thing and life expectancy, that can include addiction to alcohol or tobacco or drugs of some sort. And that can also obviously go to bad places. Same with excessive eating. And then, you know, obviously that affects your overall health and longevity. So all these things play a role in ADHD.
Do you think that your choices to do things like meditate more and stop drinking, the health focus aspect of that, how has that impacted ADHD for you in terms of like focus? Like, do you think that you're doing like better on a day-to-day basis because you have your healthy practices in place?
100%. Yes. And with stopping drinking, I mean, first of all, I sleep better. I wake up better. I'm over 50 now. And at that point, you know, even having a couple of beers, your hangover can last days or longer. So I'm feeling very, very healthy that way. And obviously, I'm also trying to leave a good impression on my kids or make a good impression to them. Unlike my parents, or especially my dad, who drank like a fish. So I feel like quitting drinking definitely has been great. Mindfulness and meditation is something that I read about. I practice every day, something I'm always trying to improve. It's part of the Root Down presentation. It will be in my book on the topic as well. Mindfulness and meditation has just been huge for me. And doing these things before the diagnosis certainly helped, rather than, you know, making these life changes after a diagnosis. Just being in the moment and slowing down and, less mindless and more and more mindful has been huge.
Yeah, I mean, along those lines, do you have specific strategies? I guess, you know, meditation may be one of those that you incorporate throughout the day to like maybe catch yourself the moment of, oh, I'm too distracted now. Let me pivot back. Like, do you have a certain way to say, like, I'm going to mitigate my tendencies to get back on track?
Yeah, absolutely. So, and I still do get off track. Certainly. And I think everybody does. But some of the ways, like, especially with ADHD is, you know, you, as I mentioned, you get hyper-focused, you do run out of steam after a while. And rather than to keep kind of pushing through, I'll just change gears and I'll give myself permission to go take the dog for a walk, get out of the house. I work from home. So, or talking to a friend, anything like that, that just, I give myself permission to take breaks. I also give myself grace because now I understand why I am the way I am. And so knowing that I have ADHD, helps me give myself permission to take those breaks. I'll get distracted on things. I do have like, different strategies. Like, I'll use a timer, if you use Google Chrome, for example. A lot of things too with ADHD, and a lot of this is relevant regardless of whether you have ADHD, by the way, but you know, sometimes digital solutions work really well. Sometimes analog do. So what's key is like finding what works best for you. For me, I'll open up a Chrome browser. If you Google 30-minute timer, lo and behold, Google has figured out how to do that.
Of course.
Right. So there's a 30-second timer, and I work with a couple monitors, so I make that my main screen my side screen, and then my main one I work on that task. So I've got a 30-minute clock counting down for me to get the thing done. And that I find has been very helpful. Also, especially with ADHD, setting goals, and this is relevant to anybody, even if like if you're working, you know, if you have a job somewhere or you're a student, it's very important. Or if you manage team members with ADHD, it's very important to set deadlines, to say like, this needs to be done by this date, or, you know, this day of the week or this time. Having these strict dates and times, even if they're, even if you just set them for something you're working on, rather than just work on something, setting these dates will help you stay focused and to try to hit those targets. So that's also really important and really is helpful. So as I said, like count, like a timer, using your phone, there's other like the Pomodoro method, which I expect you've probably covered here maybe, or have you?
I have covered it. I'm not a personal fan of it, but I know people who love it. So yeah, it works that way.
Right. And again, I mean, it really is finding what works best for you, but just finding something that works for you. So I write a lot on whysquirrels.com about these different solutions or ways to try, like I just wrote recently about the Eisenhower method of, you know, delegating tasks, or the Pomodoro method, and whether that's an actual like tomato kitchen timer that you buy, or whether it's using their app, or whether it's just setting like, you know, 20, 25 minute timer. Again, it's just finding what works best for you is key.
This podcast is all about productivity. And one area of my life that has always needed a few extra strategies is wrapped up in the world of finance. Now, you could argue that being financially productive is even more important than other areas. And with my sponsor, Yahoo Finance, you can consolidate multiple accounts into one hub or dashboard, just like I do with my own investment accounts. Now, I'm actually looking at yahoofinance.com right now, and I can see the stocks I'm following. I can customize my portfolio and even securely connect other brokerage accounts that I have. It was fascinating for me to see that the number one brand behind every great investor is Yahoo Finance. Now, I'm not a seasoned investor, so I love to find extra guidance to help me find and make better financial decisions, which is where Yahoo Finance comes in and gives you the tools and data you need all in one place. They show a big picture look at financial news, independent research, and what I love the most, customizable charts for your own investments. So for comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com. That's yahoofinance.com. Allergies are my nemesis and always have been. When my sinuses are clogged up, I really can't get anything done, including recording this podcast, because I spend the whole day blowing my nose and clearing my throat. Luckily, for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing me with samples. Designed for serious allergy sufferers, Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill that relieve your allergy symptoms and decongest your nose so you can breathe better. Claritin D's fast symptom relief starts working on allergies with nasal congestion in as little as 30 minutes. Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just one quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed. Yeah, it sounds like this is the kind it sounds like a big lifestyle shift in many ways, but it also sounds so familiar to me because half what you just said are things that like I've been teaching here since day one of this podcast, I think in large part because I find myself distracted by things and I have to set deadlines. I've got blocks. I've got apps for everything to rein myself in, mostly because I feel like I'm trying to do too much in any given day. And it's all about filtering and simplification But like, there seems to be a lot of overlap here between just general productivity and strategies you're incorporating to kind of get to where your ideal flow for the day, I guess you could say. Like, do you find that tends to be true for you, that productivity is just, I guess, a big focus in that sense?
Oh, yeah, it absolutely is. And it's interesting, too, because I think a lot, like I wrote a book somehow. I don't know really how I was able to do it, but I wrote a published book, New Business Networking. And when I wrote that book about networking, I wrote it before, way before I had been diagnosed with ADHD. So in a way, it's kind of a miracle I actually even wrote that book. But I say that because a lot of what I've thought about and written about over the years about, you know, productivity or anything else with digital marketing, networking, communication skills, presentation skills, all of that, so much of it is relevant to everybody. But so what I've learned that works for me and the stuff that I've written about over the years that works well for me because, especially because of the ADHD and especially because it was undiagnosed at the time. So I do encourage, your listeners I have a ADHD. It's a free test at whysquirrels.com. I don't see the answers. I don't see the outcomes, but you can try it there. Just to see. But the most important thing, regardless of what the outcome of that test is, the most important thing is speaking to your doctor, about whether to see if you have ADHD. By the way, a common misconception and something I hear a lot is people will say something to the effect of like, oh, we're all ADHD sometimes or ADD sometimes or what have you. That's completely wrong. You either have ADHD or you don't. It's almost like being left-handed, right? It's not like you're born with ADHD. There's some exceptions to developing ADHD, which involve like, and I'm not an expert, but my understanding is it involves like maybe possibly like head trauma or, poisoning, like lead poisoning, things like that. What I understand is that, the majority of people who have ADHD have it, they're born with it. Which brings up another point too. If you or a listener has a child with ADHD, ADHD is highly hereditary. Mm. So there's like an 80% chance. The numbers change slightly based on the gender or the mother or the father, but, I believe it's around 80% chance that one of the parents also has ADHD if a child has ADHD. And so a lot of times people discover adults, and again, Why Squirrels is for adults with ADHD, late diagnosed adults with ADHD like myself. But a lot of people discover they have ADHD when they get their kids, they're seeing doctors, they're trying to get down to why their kids are challenged at school or behaviorally and so on. And as they learn about ADHD from the doctors, they suddenly realize, wait a minute. This is all sounding very familiar to me. Mm. And so a lot of adults find that they discover their own ADHD when receiving treatment for their kids. And another side of this too, is that ADHD was known back in the day as like a naughty boy syndrome. I very much fit that bill as a kid in school. And it was never really thought as something that could affect girls, or perhaps because of, sexism or what have you, but girls just weren't really diagnosed as much. The hyperactivity shows up very clearly in a lot of boys because they're bouncing off the room, they're running around, they're hard to, contain, where the girls are more hyperactive in their minds. They're playing with their hair, they're looking outside the window, they're not focused on the work. Their minds are hyperactive. And so, and again, there's crossover, of course, between genders and so forth. But so girls were missed a lot. So a lot more women now are discovering and being diagnosed with ADHD, even than men, because they're now realizing, oh, wait a minute, this is me. So yeah, it's really interesting to learn about.
Yeah, I saw this is totally separate, but I saw a comedy sketch recently of this comedian who discovered he had autism because he thought his son might have autism, but actually he did himself, not his son. And I think it's interesting. It's fascinating because you think about, like, I have, you know, two young girls, and when they go to the doctor for their annual checkups, there's all these questions to answer about their behavior and their tendencies. And I keep thinking through myself through the same lenses, like, do I do these things? Like, is this true about me? And half it might be. And it's interesting how much we learn about ourselves through our kids.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, that's totally true. And also, you know, for myself, you know, not to bore you with the gory backstory, but my dad and I had a pretty challenged, strained relationship when I was younger. Now, luckily, this got much better as we both got older, and he's no longer around, so I can say whatever I want about him. but I raise that because now, knowing what I know about ADHD and the likeliness of how hereditary it is, I have no doubt my dad had ADHD. Mm. And like all the symptoms, all the traits were definitely in my dad. So it also helps with a little bit of, you know, getting back to that self-understanding and self-acceptance. You know, if you can understand yourself better, you can communicate this better to your family, to your friends. You know, sometimes I'll open conversations sometimes now with friends and be like, hey, don't forget I have ADHD here. So, you know, if I ramble on, just tell me to shut up, Dave, you know. So it helps with being more empathetic and being a better human as well.
Do you have like a community of people that you are like other people with ADHD that you learn from or hang out with, or is that not really a thing? I don't really know the adult ADHD community. I'm just, you know, curious about that part.
Yeah, no, it's a great question. And it gets into that third section of the root down, which is about connecting yourself, right? Like finding the others. And so there's a wonderful organization. Actually, there's two. There's one called ADA, which unfortunately don't include the H in their name because they've been around that long. And the other is CHAD. And both of those groups have like an online community that you pay, like, it's very, they're both nonprofits. So you pay like, I don't know, I think I pay like 10 bucks a month to be a member. And there's a lot of forums so you can interact with other folks. There's Reddit, of course, there's TikTok and places where you can find a lot of content. You just have to be careful about the information you're finding to make sure that it's not misinformation, or misunderstandings, or, you know, hopefully not disinformation about ADHD. But, you know, during 2020, during the pandemic, ADHD diagnoses began to spike. And the reason why wasn't because more people were, you know, quote unquote, getting ADHD. It was because people were spending more time online. They were stressed out. They were seeking therapy and those therapists. This is what happened to me. Part of what my story, like in 2020, because of the stress and anxiety, I started seeing an online therapist, and the therapist diagnosed me with, you know, kind of low grade depression and much higher on anxiety. And however, it was a therapist and not a psychologist or a psychiatrist. So she gave me some things to consider and to do, but she couldn't diagnose me and like prescribe medication or anything like that. And one very important point, and getting back to life expectancy with ADHD that's untreated, is that there's comorbidities of ADHD, and these are like things that are caused by ADHD. And some of these things include depression, anxiety. So what happens a lot of the time, and you know, Richard Barkley does a great job. This is also, if you go to whysquirrels.com/life, I have more information about this, and that video from him is there. But I share this because what happens is you get treated by therapists or doctors for the anxiety, but not for the ADHD. It gets missed. And so then what happens is the patient, they can't, or maybe you're seeing somebody like a trainer to get more in shape or to stop overeating, you know, all these different things that you're not being treated for the root cause. And so ultimately what happens is not always, but what can happen is you fail at your attempt at treating your anxiety, for example. And without treating the root cause and understanding the root cause, which could be ADHD, this, by the way, doesn't mean that if somebody is experiencing anxiety or is diagnosed with anxiety, this doesn't mean that you have ADHD. You may just have anxiety, which unto itself is also, you know, a serious thing, but ADHD is at the root of a lot of these conditions. And so, you know, you need to start there and then work on that other stuff. And what happens is, you know, if left untreated, like, yeah, that anxiety can, you know, suicide rates can be higher, you know, things like that. Hmm. Way to bring the conversation down, Dave.
Yeah, but it's real though. And this is an interesting component because I mean, there's a lot of, I mean, the world of high achievers and productivity and goal achieving, you know, the world that I've been in with this podcast since day one, I mean, there's a strong correlation between those kinds of people and just extreme behavior in general, right? The go-getters and the high achievers are doing things at a high level, but that I've seen in myself, like if I'm really excited, I can all of a sudden get really angry, like really fast. And so the heightened emotion is, it's all connected. And I feel like it's an interesting overlap of people who, you know and of themselves, like I've got ADHD, but that means I'm maybe more prone to these certain types of behaviors. That self-awareness is incredible because then you can actually do something about it. And I love the action-orientedness of saying, like, I have a plan to work on this.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, and that's the thing. So as I mentioned, like the root down this presentation that I've developed, and really a system that I'm, you know, I just delivered the root down, as a keynote. I call it my ADHD inspired, presentation and process to know, respect and connect yourself. But I just delivered it for the Entrepreneurs Organization EO, in San Francisco, Silicon Valley, and East Bay. And the feedback was astounding because I had a room of entrepreneurs of all sorts of different, you know, businesses and industries and so forth. But I had so many great questions and comments, from that audience, and the feedback I'm getting from this, whether I do it virtually or in person or companies or conferences, the feedback I'm getting is excellent. And then with the ADHD Wise Squirrels podcast, I can't tell you how incredible just reading the reviews are, like in Apple Podcasts or receiving the emails. I'm getting so many emails from listeners who are sharing their stories and things. And it's just really, really incredible. And that gets back to that point about this all being such a passion of mine that has quickly shifted to this mission of really trying to educate folks, to remove stigmas, to help educate people about ADHD. And again, like the root down is, you know, the stuff that I share, the steps to do in that process, they're for anyone, like anybody can do this stuff, but it's especially helpful for ADHDers.
Well, this is awesome stuff, Dave. I love this conversation. I've never discussed this on the podcast before, and I feel like this is a whole new world of possibility for people, especially high achievers and, you know, productivity people just like us who maybe need this kind of awareness. So from that perspective, if somebody wants to learn more from you, wants to take the assessment you mentioned earlier, like where can they go to really dig into your content here?
Yeah, thanks. And thanks for having me. This has been a lot of fun. Everybody could go. You can go to wisesquirrels.com. If you Google Dave Delaney, you can find me in all the places. But I encourage you to visit wisesquirrels.com. That's where you'll find the podcast, the free assessment, articles, and a lot more.
Excellent. That's great stuff. Dave, this has been awesome, man. Thanks so much.
Yeah, thanks, Jeff. It's been fun.
And for the action step this week, take the free ADHD assessment. Just simply go to jeffsanders.com/ADHD. And of course, subscribe to Dave Delaney's podcast, ADHD Wise Squirrels, which you can find wherever you get your podcasts. And while you're there, of course, subscribe to this podcast in your favorite podcast app, or become a VIP member of the 5AM Miracle community by getting the premium ad-free version with exclusive bonus episodes at 5ammiraclepremium.com. That's all I've got for you here on the 5AM Miracle podcast this week. Until next time, you have the power to change your life, and all that fun begins bright and early. Hey, it's Jeff Sanders, and I'm here to tell you about Greg McKeown and his amazing show, The Greg McKeown Podcast, part of the Yap Media Network. Want to achieve more by doing less, all while avoiding burnout? You can design a life that really matters with Greg McKeown, author of New York Times bestsellers Effortless and Essentialism. His mission is to help you advocate and negotiate your way to remarkable results. Every Tuesday, Greg discusses one key topic he finds interesting and valuable through the lens of the essentialist. Every Thursday, he invites thought leaders, entrepreneurs, celebrities, and people like you for inspired weekly conversations focused on learning how to do what matters first and do less but better. His content will stir your thoughts and spark inspiration and action. And his British accents, well, that's just the cherry on top. Subscribe to the Greg McKeown Podcast today on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your favorite podcast platform.